Our guest is somebody who hosts his own show. He's a good friend of mine personally and professionally as a colleague, and he sits in for me on my show, which I got to tell you is a huge compliment, and I know he knows this because this is my baby. Mark Levine, you know him, you love him, host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop, where he serves up all the news the government does not want you to know. He's also an attorney. He lives inside the Beltway, and he knows a thing or two about the War Powers Resolution Act, the Constitution, and all of this arguing over what seems to be semantics. Mark, good evening. Thanks for joining us. How are you, honey?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for all the compliments. And it is a compliment to host your show. Absolutely it is.
Well, thank you. You know what? We both got bumped from O'Reilly tonight, huh?
Yes, we did. We were supposed to be on, but I don't know. I guess you had something else. Who knows?
Well, I can't say on the air. I know the reason.
Oh, okay. You'll tell me later.
It's nothing bad. You just may say, you know, maybe wanted more outlandish points of view on the issue.
That's probably it. Probably they want us to say you shouldn't resign. Well, never mind.
Yeah. But anyway, I was all excited to know I was going to be on with you because, I usually know but not really know when I'm friends with the people I'm on with. I had that happen the other day. It was a surprise, a friend of mine. And so it's nice when you can be on. But I'm glad, better you're on my show tonight. Let's talk about this. It's not just Dennis Kucinich, but other House members have filed a lawsuit against the president on the Libya military mission. Is this a big deal? Is this much to do about nothing? I mean, the president is a constitutional attorney who practiced constitutional law for 10 years. He's not a dumb guy, and he's up for re-election. I would imagine he's got his T's crossed and his I's dotted on this one, does he?
Well, I'll tell you, the War Resolutions Act, the interesting thing is it's never gone to the United States Supreme Court. So it's really an open question what exactly has to be done here. And that's what's so fascinating about this issue is that, of course, the War Powers Resolution was passed in 1973 over Richard Nixon's veto. And it has to do with really a conflict in the Constitution that was never resolved. Congress and only Congress has the right to declare war, but the president is the commander-in-chief. So what do you do when they conflict? Well, everyone agrees that if Congress were to cut off funds, that would end a war. Although you may remember that with Ronald Reagan, when Congress cut off funds to the Contras, he didn't quit, and that caused the Iran-Contra affair. But the specific question of the War Powers Act is whether or not if the Congress doesn't approve a military action, the president has to remove troops within 60 days or 90 days. It's a technical difference there. They have to start removing it within 60 days and get it out within 90 days. And no president has agreed that they have to do this, but virtually every president, though not all, has notified Congress so as to be within the resolution while not admitting that it's proper. What's fascinating about the Libya war is that the Republicans, most Republicans and most Democrats support the war, although they're opponents on both sides. If he were to get a vote on it, he probably would get a vote for the Libya resolution. But Obama didn't ask for one, which I think was a mistake. And now the Republicans are trying to stick it to him. So there's a long answer here. The short answer is I don't know how the lawsuit would go. I think it would probably be dismissed. But I can't say that I know for sure.
Why do you think the president's doing this? With a re-election on the horizon, this would appear to make him seem pompous, as we expected from the former president.
Honestly, I think it's a mistake. If I were advising him, I would have told him to get the Libya resolution a week after he announced it to the public and get it done already. I mean, every president has insisted the War Powers Act does not apply. Like I said, we really don't know the answer because it hasn't gone before the U.S. Supreme Court. But I think it's a mistake. I don't think, unless someone can give me a reason, I can't think that this is a carefully informed judgment of the president. He can ask for support without admitting that the War Powers Resolution applies to him. That's what most presidents do, and I was surprised, frankly, he didn't do it. In fact, you may remember, Les, I came on your show when he first announced in Libya and said, yeah, I'm sure he'll ask for it. He didn't. Well, he didn't.
No, and that's one of the reasons we have you back on tonight. We've got to take a quick break, as you know, Mark. We will be back right after this with our guest, Mark Levine. Mark Levine is our guest, host of the Washington, D.C. radio show, The Inside Scoop. He serves up all the news the government does not want you to know. Check it out on his website, radioinsidescoop.com. That's radioinsidescoop.com. I also want you to know that Mark is an ex-congressional attorney. He served the Democrats on the Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees. He not only is able to understand and explain how Washington really works, he actually fought some of the great battles of the early Bush administration. And you can hear him host a show from his website where he podcasts every day at radioinsidescoop.com. And he also fills in for me here here on the Leslie Marshall Show, and sometimes on Fox News Channel. And tonight we were supposed to be on together, and we're not, but we're here. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. So let's talk about this. You would have advised the president to do otherwise. I'm not in your position, but it sounds like, you know, what I would have done too if I had been in an advisor position, whether he needs it or not. I mean, because this certainly is splitting hairs. When we talk about the War's Power Act, is it a military action specifically or a declaration of war? And I say that because there's a difference, right? There's a difference, and a difference in the mind of the military, and there's a difference literally.
Well, there's absolutely a difference. The Congress has not declared war that often. You know, there's the Civil War, the War of 1812, the Spanish-American War, World War I, and World War II, and that's it. The Korea War, the Vietnam War, none of those were declared wars. Oh, the Mexican War was too. And in fact, if you go back to American history, one of the first wars we ever fought after the Revolutionary War was a war that very few people know about. It's the Barbary War. It was a war against the Barbary pirates. Many of you know the Marine hymn, "From the Halls of Montezuma to the Shores of Tripoli." That is the same Tripoli in Libya that we're attacking today. Back in 1801, 1802, there were pirates that came from the Barbary Coast. It was called the Barbary Coast. They came from Tripoli, and they were attacking our American merchant ships, and we went in with our newly formed Marines to take out the pirates. We actually didn't succeed the first time. We succeeded the second time. The point is, that was not a declared war, and this was done by the same founders that founded the United States. So it's clear the president has some range of military action. And the question is whether what we're doing in NATO is more like the Barbary Pirates War, a limited action. After all, we don't have boots on the ground. That's Obama's argument, by the way. I think it's a pretty good one. I wish he weren't relying on it, because I would like to see a congressional authorization. By the end of the day, I think he will win the argument in court that this is more like the Barbary Pirates limited action and less like, you know, World War II.
And we also could be out of Libya before that, whether Congress stops the money from flowing or whether NATO doesn't feel that the United States needs be there, or if Gaddafi steps down or is killed.
Well, Congress has an absolute right to stop the money from flowing. That's the one thing. Everyone says, what about protecting congressional war power? That, no one doubts, Congress has the right to do. If they really hate a war, they can simply not appropriate any money for it. That's kind of frankly, that's the way the Parliament stopped the English kings way back when, to start the Magna Carta. They didn't want to fund the king's wars, and he agreed to give the English people rights. But that's a pretty drastic action, and many argue that the War Powers Act is constitutional. It says, of course, that, you know, Congress doesn't authorize something. The president has to withdraw troops in 60 days. The one court that has considered it was not the Supreme Court. It was a lower court, and they said it was non-justiciable, which is a fancy way of saying we ain't deciding. This is a fight between the president and Congress, and we're not deciding. I don't like that court's decision either, because I feel like if anyone's going to decide a fight between Congress and the president, it should be the courts. So I think he's going to get away with it, although I really wish it weren't, because I like the idea that Congress should have a check and balance on a president. I mean, this isn't just President Obama. We might have a Republican president, and I want that check and balance. So this, to me, isn't a Democratic-Republican issue. It's an issue of, will the American people be able to stop presidents from going to war? And even though I support the Libyan war, very much so, I would like to have that check and balance.
Speaking of, when you said, you know, not a political issue necessarily, 10 House members led by a Democrat, Dennis Kucinich, a Democrat from Ohio, are filing that complaint in federal court against the president for taking military action in Libya without seeking first congressional approval. He's joined by some Republicans like Walter Jones, Howard Coble, John Duncan, Roscoe Bartlett, Ron Paul, Tim Johnson, and Dan Burton. But he also has a couple of Democrats, John Conyers and Michael Capuano, on his team. You know, even though this is not necessarily a political issue, why do we have a Democrat leading the fray against a Democratic president who was up for re-election in 2012? Is Dennis Kucinich just bitter because he didn't get the Democratic nomination last time around?
No. I think that the Democrats and the Republicans you mentioned have very strong concerns for the institutional power of Congress. The Democrats you named, Kucinich, Conyers, and Capuano, and I've had both Kucinich and Conyers on my show, but they tend to be people who are against most wars, and they're people who want to have a lot of protection against going to war. I know they're all, for example, specifically against the Libyan war. But I also think that it protects institutional power for the future. The same is true on the Republican side. Ron Paul hates any war. He is an unusual Republican. He's a pure libertarian, and he doesn't support basically any war unless it has to do with American self-defense. So I think these members of Congress on the left and the right are opponents of the Libyan war and also want to protect the institutional powers of Congress. I don't blame them for bringing this lawsuit. I really don't. I think it's a good test. I think Obama made the wrong decision here. Even though I support the Libyan war, I think he's going to win in the courts. I don't mind when members of Congress protect their institutional rights. That doesn't really bother me.
So people understand, how does a president get congressional approval? Is it a simple vote? Is it time-consuming? Is it costly? Would it put a delay to the action in Libya that we're involved in with NATO?
One thing we do know, it does not require a declaration of war, right? We went to war in Vietnam, we went to war in Iraq, we went to war in Afghanistan, all without a formal congressional declaration of war. So that's clearly not required. What is required usually is some kind of congressional appropriation or authorization. George Bush actually did get appropriation and authorization, both for the Afghanistan war and the Iraq war. Bill Clinton got it for Bosnia. He got it actually close to the deadline of the War Powers Act, but he did get it. Although actually Ronald Reagan took action, some military action, without getting congressional approval, and nobody really complained at that time. So there is some precedent on the other side.
Reagan but where? Grenada?
In Grenada, absolutely. And to some extent, you could argue with the Contras, because we were arming a military, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we had American boots on the ground arming them. So if you count that, that would be another example. But at the end of the day, I think he could have gotten this. I think he still could get this. I think that, frankly, he should try to get congressional approval, lest it become a political issue. It may be if one of the few things Democrats and Republicans agree on. There are the Kucinichs and the Ron Pauls that are against it. But I think you'll find that the majority of Democrats and the majority of Republicans support the limited action we're doing right now to help NATO to avert a humanitarian catastrophe. And I think the American people, it's close, but a majority support it as well, about 55%. So he should just get it done with already. And again, he didn't hire me as advisor. That would be my advice.
Well, since he's not taking your advice and hasn't listened to you, or a lot of others, what happens then if Congress says, okay, no more money? Do the troops simply come home? And what happens, obviously, if without our assistance, because we have arguably one of the best military machines in the world, if without our assistance, the people, are more and more the victims of mass genocide, if you will, by Gaddafi?
Well, let me say this. I think it's extremely unlikely. I would bet a lot of money against the idea that Congress is going to withdraw funds for Libya, because I think the majority of Congress supports the war. I bet you 2/3 of Congress supports the war. So some of this is more a slap in the face of the president protecting institutional things than actual opposition to the war. They're fighting for congressional rights. They're not fighting against the Libyan war. So I think that's highly unlikely. If it did happen, though, I think it's clear that we would have to withdraw troops. This is what got Ronald Reagan in trouble. There was the Boland Amendment passed by Congress, which said we couldn't aid the Contras anymore. He didn't abide by it, and it was a massive scandal. So if Congress were to do that, I don't think they will, but if they were to do that, Obama would have to listen, and, the Libyan people would be damned. He'd have to.
What if it does this complaint in federal court, go to the highest court in the land, and if the highest court in the land rules, and if the court rules that the president was in violation, that that this rebuke of him over this conflict not only was justified, but if they agree with Kucinich and the other nine that say the law was violated, what would happen? I mean, would the president be in a position to be tried for treason?
No. He'd have to remove the troops. This wouldn't be personal. It's to his office. It would be the same thing as if Congress denied authorization. The worst that would happen is the president will withdraw troops, and everyone would know that the War Powers Act really does have teeth, which, again, no one really knows yet. And that would be a precedent setting for this president and future presidents. And, I support the Libyan action, but it wouldn't be a bad precedent to say the war, to get that resolved one way or the other. I don't think he'll lose. I think that there's enough, there's the fact that it's ambiguous, but also the fact that we don't have boots on the ground. There is the Barbary Pirates example. I think he'll actually win such a lawsuit, but I don't like that either, because I want presidents to fear this War Powers resolution. If it doesn't have any teeth, then no future president will have any constraints on them except for defunding an action, which I, as I talked about is rare. So I'd rather the lawsuit not be resolved one way or the other. I want the president to pretend it's law and abide by it. But as we discussed, he's not following my advice.
No, he's not. Do you think the suit will go anywhere? Do you think it'll be a repeat of 99 with Kosovo, the operations there, and what the court did with President Clinton?
I think the suit will be dismissed, and I think it will further weaken the War Powers Act. And even though I support the Libyan action strongly, I would regret the weakening of the War Powers Act, because I do want a congressional constraint on the president. So I think Obama will win the lawsuit, and in some ways, although I support the Libyan action, I regret that win because I worry about the future.
Do you think that I understand that the White House, although they've made they've made clear what they're doing and, you know, what their argument is for this. The bottom line here is whether or not, because everything's open to interpretation in the law, you know better than anyone as an attorney.
That's true.
And in the War Powers resolution, it really does come down to whether or not this particular operation in Libya triggers that 60-day withdrawal statute, because the administration's argument is that, you know, we're in a supportive role. Technically, this does not rise to the level of combat hostilities contemplated by that statute, because we're entirely in a supporting role. We don't have boots on the ground, and our forces are not directly engaging enemy forces with hostile fire, and therefore they didn't need to adhere to that 60-day clock.
Well, that is Obama's argument. Harry Truman argued he didn't need to declare war on Korea because it was the United Nations that declared war on Korea. Vietnam, they had the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. That is his argument. I can tell you this, though. The people who drafted the War Powers Act in 1973 knew about Korea, knew about Vietnam, knew about our having advisors on the ground, and they drafted it pretty strongly to try to prevent this. I actually think it falls within the War Powers Act. That's not as much a question as the question of whether the whole act itself is constitutional. I don't know where a court will go with it. They have a lot of ways. They can say it's non-justiciable. In other words, we're not going to decide. They can say Obama's argument is right. We're not sufficiently there enough. Or they could go all the way to declaring the War Powers Act unconstitutional or uphold it. It really could go in a number of directions. I don't think they're going to uphold it and force the president to withdraw troops, because I think this U.S. Supreme Court knows there's going to be other presidents, and they're going to want to protect a Republican president's right to go to war. So I actually don't think he'll win for political reasons. But the legal reasons are actually more interesting, and I wish I had a clearer answer for you. It is a mess. It's a muddled mess.
Now, you say you do believe this falls within the War Powers resolution. The White House and those who support him say, hey, look, we handed over the vast bulk of air operations to other NATO coalition partners. So how can this rise to the level of what is discussed as a military intervention or a declaration of war by the War Powers Resolution when we are in practically a supportive role? A, B, these are air operations. There are not boots on the ground, et cetera.
That is their argument, and I know they'll make it. The thing is, the War Powers Act doesn't talk about boots on the ground. It talks about introducing troops into imminent hostilities. In other words, can someone get killed? Well, they could shoot down our plane, and that's not exactly theoretical. Now, I guess they haven't yet. But is it?
Yeah, but somebody could argue, Mark, I'm not an attorney, as you know, but two semesters of law school does not make me one. But, you know, I have to say, somebody could argue that our troops are in harm's way when they're walking down the street on a U.S. military base.
True, but I don't think that's hostilities. In other words, if you have no reason to expect that someone's going to come up and blow a military base, it may happen, but you're not introducing troops into hostilities. In other words,
after Fort Hood and things like that, they may say, but the hostilities come from within.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to argue that the entire world is a war zone. But I think that Libya is a war zone. Are we introducing troops into that war zone? I guess if I were the judge deciding this, I think I'd say yes. Again, I support the war, but I got to let the law decide. I would say we are introducing troops into hostilities. But arguably, England and France are doing most of the work. I don't know. It's a tough question. It's a close decision.
All right, we appreciate it. Mark, what are you talking about on your show this week?
Well, I'm trying to get past Congressman Wiener and move on to the things that matter, notably the debt ceiling, which is coming upon us. And my own personal view, which is that the president needs to not shut everything down on August 2nd, but to start shutting things down now. to actually start shutting down, for example, rich people, those that earn hundreds of thousands of dollars gain Social Security, maybe shut down pay to generals but not to privates, maybe start shutting down the national parks, show people that there's a real cost to not increasing the debt ceiling, and then say, look, you know, the Republicans got to do it or we're going to lose these things. I'm afraid if he waits till the last minute on August 2nd, he's going to cave into them, and I don't want that to happen. So that's my advice to the president. But as we discussed earlier, he doesn't take my advice that often, which he would.
What is his problem, right? Why doesn't he just say, what would Mark do today?
Come on my show and do everything I say.
Mark, we want everyone to listen to your show. Check it out. It's called The Inside Scoop. You can catch it on his website where he podcasts daily at RadioInsideScoop.com. That's RadioInsideScoop.com. My good buddy sits in for me, colleague, attorney, and great talk show host as well, Mark Levine. Check it out, America. Mark, thank you, dear. You know I love you.